Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, third hour, TK's here to cover you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently on this Football Friday. 1-855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, let's check in on the poll question. We'll get to some of the updated playoff situations, tell you what's really important this Sunday. Now, we started the show, obviously, recapping the great game last night, and it's long been my opinion. Phillip Rivers has always been overlooked. It's ridiculous. So Mike took something that I said, and then we turned it into a poll. So I'll just read it. This was for me about 2 hours ago. Quote, last night was a microcosm of what should be a first ballot Hall of Fame career. Rivers is not good. He's great. He's better than Eli. He's better than Big Ben. So we, and quote, end quote. So we asked the question, who's the best quarterback from the 2004 draft? And I got to tell you, it's going exactly the way I think that it should.
Which is?
Phillip Rivers is number one, okay. 40%. Big Ben is right there at 38%, and Eli, rightfully so, is lagging miles behind the 22%. That's the way it should be.
I think you're right.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Now, listen, if people say Big Ben and Phillip Rivers too, okay, cool. No way Eli could be one, and no way Rivers could be three.
Yeah, what were the regular season stats? 56% win percentage for Phillip Rivers, 51 for Eli, 68. For Big Ben.
That is a high number.
It's a big number for Big Ben. And then obviously in the postseason, Phillip Rivers is only 4-5. Eli's 8-4 with the two championships, both of which he was responsible for. Meaning, because the argument with Big Ben is that his first one, he didn't do anything. But Big Ben's playoff record is pretty stellar, 13-8.
Very good.
Lots of opportunities too, by the way.
For sure. All right, Teague. So NFL playoff scenarios, let's see. We got a lot. Obviously the Rams clinched the West. That's done. Mm-hmm. Saints have the South title. You know, it's funny, on a quick side note here, because we talk fantasy, because this is semifinals and leading up to the finals for a lot of people. That Monday night game between the Saints and the Panthers,
yeah,
I think that's going to determine a lot of leagues there.
Of course it is, because Christian McCaffrey's in that league. A lot of people have Cam Newton as well.
Michael Thomas.
Drew Brees, and, oh, I'm going to forget Kamara. The kid's name from
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore.
He's played very well.
He got picked up late for a lot of teams. I know I have him on my – I got to decide whether or not I'm going to play him.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. It's this weekend, this NFC South Monday night game is going to determine whether or not I make it or not, because I have a lot of those guys.
I've got McCaffrey.
I got
and Kamara. I'm going against Drew Brees,
I have Kamara and McCaffrey.
That's a hell of a running back.
It is.
How do you wind up drafting both of those guys?
Because
of the league?
Because it was a keeper.
How bad is the league?
Because it was a keeper.
Gotcha.
It was a keeper, so I kept Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
And then Bilotti wanted to.
Pete the Body,
he wanted, I forgot who he wanted, but I said, who do you got? The only person that was interesting to me was Christian McCaffrey.
And what round did you take McCaffrey? One?
No, he traded him to me.
Oh, he traded him? What place is Pete in right now?
I don't know.
I love you, Pete, but what place is Pete in? He's got to be.
He wrote me about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. He was like, I think I made a mistake with McCaffrey.
Is he still league Santer's in?
Yeah, Santer's in that league.
Santer's still alive or no? He got bounced?
He got bounced.
Got bounced, huh? Just don't know how to play fantasy football, do you, Santa?
Just get on.
First time in that league ever not making the playoffs.
Is it really? I got crushed last 2 years. I've gotten crushed.
Have you ever won, Mike? Have you ever actually finished
first? I made it to the finals twice in the 4 years before this year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then in my other league,
the answer is no. You don't have to give us all the
three of the 7 years we were there.
Have you ever won?
Not in these two leagues.
That's all I'm looking for.
Hey, have you ever won, BT?
Yes! He rolls his eyes. You want me to do? You want me to go back on?
I've won over my lifetime in various different leagues, but I'm in two now, and I haven't won in those.
Yeah,
but I've won like three or four times in different leagues.
I've actually never won fantasy football. But I actually stopped doing it for a while because I honestly enjoyed betting on games more than fantasy football. But I've actually gotten more into fantasy football again.
Yeah,
and baseball I've been doing for 13 years. I'm usually terrible.
Yeah.
I won it once, but it was a couple thousand, which was sweet. But I'm usually usually at the basement. I mean, I'm usually terrible. Because I told you, I check out on draft day.
Yeah, you're right.
After seven rounds, I'm like, all right, I'm going to drink beers.
Baseball's too hard.
Call me when I'm up.
It's too hard. It's too hard to draft, and it's too hard to follow during the year.
I hear. Well, speaking of following, there's obviously a lot of games we got to follow on Sunday.
Yep.
If you, not even necessarily in terms of being the most important to the playoff race, but what do you think is the most interesting game and why?
To me, it's the Indianapolis Colts hosting the Dallas Cowboys.
You took mine, but
of course, but you took
it.
I mean,
yeah,
there's a couple, but this is one.
Let's hear it.
And you can follow up on this, BT, because we know who Andrew Luck is now. Right? Healthy, as good as ever, to be honest with you. Their defense is finally, we haven't ever had to have this conversation about their defense. Their defense is finally good. Darius Leonard is going to get consideration for Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. And they're playing fantastic football. T.Y. Hilton, Eric Ebron, who was a cast-off in Detroit, they basically cut him, right?
Yeah, I picked him up on my fantasy
I know,
team.
But Detroit basically said, get out of here.
They
good
did.
Riddance. And look what he's doing now with Andrew Luck. So he's in the right system. But it's really because of Dallas and how they changed the narrative on their season after bringing in Amari Cooper and trading a first-round draft pick. They're viable, man. And
yeah,
Dak Prescott looks like, you know, he could be a great player. Now, he still makes some horrible. He still makes some.
Great player. I got to call you on that.
He makes some.
A great player?
At times, he looks great, BT.
Go ahead.
His numbers speak loudly. And a lot of that is because of Amari Cooper, right? And really, it's only because of Amari Cooper. He makes some confounding decisions, which is the first time I think when I really said I don't know if he can be a franchise player because of the confounding decisions. But how do I know he's not going to grow out of that because of Amari Cooper and the fact that they have a great run game and they have all the situational guys that you need, right? The crossing route guys and
Beasley's.
Sure. They have all those kids.
Kid Gallup is good.
And so this game is intriguing because I need to see Dak Prescott in a pressure-filled game against on the road against a good opponent.
Yeah,
and we haven't seen it the last couple. I know Philly was different, but they should have blown out Philly.
Uh-huh.
They let Philly stay in that game. Philly had no business being in that game. Can they win on the road against Indianapolis? This game is compelling to me.
I think it's actually the one that I had circled of all the. I'll obviously jump to a different one, but just to follow up on Dak here, you know, I'm splitting hairs, but you know, I know he's smart. I know he's got easy leadership skills. I think he resonates with guys because he's real. You know, he'll put his shoulder pads down, take a hit.
Yep.
He's tough. He's fast. But he just doesn't throw the ball well enough for me to say he's never going to be great.
That's what I don't know.
Look, I don't see it.
He
could be good.
Yeah.
And if you have, and I'm saying he could probably even win if you have a great defense, which they do, and Zeke. And I know the O-line's dipped a little bit. I'm not saying you can't win a big one with him.
Yeah.
But consistently great, Teak, he misses every week. He misses guys wide open by 3, 4, 5 yards. That should be 6.
True.
Every week.
But every other pass is extraordinarily efficient. And that's the problem. It's like you see this efficiency. I mean, he set a Dallas record last week with 42 completions. I mean, you don't expect him to be that guy that's just going to throw the ball, because they have Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you have to? It's almost asinine that you would make him. But when they ask him to do it, he does. And as long as his completion percentage on the season, he's almost 70%. And the perception is he's not that player. But he is, actually. It's just those ones that he misses stand out so bad, right? The interception that's just horrendously thrown or the bad decisions, especially in the red zone. But that comes from him trying to make a play.
But how do you fix that, Teak? How do you fix accuracy? Because Baker Mayfield is as accurate a young player as I've ever seen.
Baker,
it's a gift.
Well, part of it is strength and mechanics.
Okay.
Right? So Baker Mayfield can be late on a throw, but because he's so strong, like he's got man strength.
He's stronger than Dak?
Baker is with his mechanics, absolutely.
Wait, fluid or like physically stronger?
No. Like
I think Dak is a strong kid.
Like arm strength. Like
like whip torque?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
That's exactly right.
Gotcha.
Just from a baseball perspective, you know what I'm talking about. Because the way his body, like the way his arm lags, but then flies through.
I gotcha.
Right? When Baker Mayfield throws the ball, I mean, you hear it.
Yeah, it does.
You could hear it on the TV.
The first throw he made against the Jets when he came off the bench over the middle.
You heard it. You heard it.
I felt it.
Right? Dak is more
right
of a
heart.
Dak is more of a, you know, he lays it up there sometimes.
Yeah.
When you do that, you can't make mistakes. You can't be late if you have that, like, a finesse throw. Like, it helps you complete passes sometimes because it's an easier ball to catch. but you can't have any indecision. You can't have any, you know, delay in your thought. It's got to be on time, outright. And most of the time he does that. And sometimes he doesn't, though, and that's when we get those confounding interceptions. And, dude, Dak, what are you looking at?
Okay.
Like, how did you overthrow a wide-open receiver by 8 feet? You know what I mean?
It's hard to wrap my mind around that.
Because he's not committed to the throw like Baker is. Baker's committed to every single throw. Right?
Yeah.
You don't see Baker like, oh, no, I shouldn't have made. Baker's like, all right, this thing is coming out.
He's good.
It's fixable.
Baker's a real deal.
It's fixable because you can reprogram the mechanics. Like, if you're going to make a throw, Dak, throw it. Right? If you're not, tuck it down and chunk it away or do whatever with it. But don't half-ass a throw because that's when you get in trouble. And that's what he's been doing. So in some regards, you look at some of his stats and the records that he's setting with the Cowboys, and you're like, man, he can be great, but there's just something holding him back. That's the decision that they're going to have to make, and it's coming pretty soon, whether or not he's going to be their guy for the foreseeable future or is he going to be the guy for the short-term future.
Okay, I'm still going to stop short of latching onto the word great, but good explanation. That made a lot of sense. Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pats. I mean, let's go.
That's a no-brainer.
CBS, let's roll it out. Let's all sit back and let's let the JV games, you know, finish up. Yep. Let's go. Who are you?
What do you think?
Both of these teams. Are you?
What do you think happens first?
Shootout. I think we get a shootout.
That was going to be my question. Are we going to get a slugfest?
Shootout.
A slow down? Or are we going to get who can score last?
I could see 34-31. Mm-hmm. I could see 30-27-ish. Yeah. We're getting points. We're getting yards. We're getting first downs. And I think we're getting some stuff early, too. Yeah,
but here's the thing, though, BT, as I think about this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a smart way for Pittsburgh to play.
I think it's the only way they can play without James Conner.
I agreed. But something about Ben, man, these last few weeks, he's just not Ben.
He looks a little old.
Yeah, I don't want to throw the old, but I can't think of anything else to call it.
A couple years, he's going to be 40. We're not making fun of him. We're just saying he's almost 40.
It's like the decision sometimes comes slower to him.
Uh-huh.
Or the throw just doesn't have enough on it, and it gets picked off. Or he's just making a bad decision, more like hoping and wishing instead of knowing. And if they play this game, which the Patriots want you to play, the Patriots want you to try to outscore them because they know they can win that type of game. It's the slog fest that the Pats struggle with sometimes. So I almost feel like this is a chess match. Is game
usually
planning
is
wise.
Between these two,
and so that's what makes
and
it
usually a, favors the Pats.
Agreed. And that's that's what makes it a great. That's what makes it a great game this weekend. And
I
it's
can't
important.
Wait to see.
It's important, not so much for the Pats.
Uh-huh.
It's important for the Pittsburgh Steelers because if they fall to 7-6-1 and say Baltimore wins this weekend against the Buccaneers, all of a sudden the Steelers, who look like they controlled this division for the last month and a half or so, they're out of the picture.
But I think it's more important for the Pats than you let on. If they lose, they're 9-5, which means they're playing some road games.
Yeah, true. Which they never have to do.
Which they always get a bye.
When they make it to the Super Bowl.
And they always chill at Foxborough. Mm-hmm. Come to us. Come on in, Houston.
Oh,
remember
dude,
that?
They
come
gotta, if they got to go to San Diego or they got to go to... If they got to go to Kansas City.
You mean L.A.?
I mean L.A. You know what I mean.
I
San Diego. If they go to Los Angeles, actually, it's probably better that they go to Los Angeles.
There'd be a lot of Pats fans.
I know. In the soccer stadium.
I want to see if there's a remnant. And I don't think there will be. This is just my faith in Belichick. I want to see if there's any remnant from how that Dolphins game ended.
Mm.
Like, does any of that creep in? Like, if the Steelers come down, I don't know if they're going to win the toss, if they're going to defer, whatever. But the first time the Steelers get the ball, what if they march 77 yards, Juju has three catches, let's say Connor plays, he's questionable now. You know, three rushes, 32 yards, AB, two first downs, Vance McDonald, the tight end. Everybody's involved, boom, punctuation, touchdown, 7-0 Steelers, place is going crazy. I want to see where the Pats are. Like what's their level of resolve? Because every year it's different. As an organization, yes, they have great resolve. Yes, they're champions. Yes, it's a dynasty. But the 2018 Pats, what is their level of resolve? I want to see.
We will.
Can't wait. CBS 425 Eastern. Coming up next, make our picks. Get that money out. Been a little chilly. I forgot my, you know what? It's raining here. So I didn't wear my sunglasses today. I don't have sharp shades. You know, every time I wore them, I've been bad.
You're right.
That's a good thing.
Keep them off.
I'm going to keep them off. We'll make some picks coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Whether it's home, motors, renters, motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. You know what time it is. Time to make some picks. 523, Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM 206, as we get ready to launch into the weekend. Week 15 is off to a great start. Awesome game. But this is where we try to make a little scratch. And by the way, this is the kind of weekend where you could get swallowed up. Because now you got the bowl season underway. Mm-hmm. You got action on Saturday from the NFL. Bleeds right into Sunday. If you're not doing well, you chase into Monday. Show some restraint. Yeah. Don't be, don't bet above your means. Don't go crazy.
Isn't it crazy that the bowl games are already starting?
Yeah, it's almost Christmas.
I know. I thought I looked at the calendar the other week.
I know.
I was like, wait, there's only one more week to shop?
It doesn't feel like Christmas. So busy with the move that we're so overwhelmed by that. It doesn't feel like Christmas at all.
You're right.
It doesn't.
You're right.
Ah. And it's certainly not going to feel like Christmas when I cut that check tomorrow, Monday at closing. It's going to feel the opposite of Christmas.
But it's awesome.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. We can't wait.
First step, different life.
Oh, I finally got my office back and a man cave. Here we go. All right, so I went 3-2-1 last week. I am 42-38-4 on the season. I usually like to use the word robust before I give you my percentage, but I can't. 53% is not robust. We're not going to fool anybody. 42-38-4. I expect better of myself. Quite frankly, I was well over 60% for most of the season. I just got a little chilly. I mean, I hit a little bit of a patch. Last week, again, I was okay, 3-2-1, but I think I was 1-5. Mm-hmm. I definitely had a couple of rough weeks. Now, the goal is to finish up strong, and hopefully I got some winners for you here. I think I do. Tiki is at 41%, 34-49-2. So try to make a little late push.
Yeah.
That week
you went 1-5. I think I went 0-6.
You did.
We were 1-11.
Serendipitous timing.
What were we
on your part for me?
We were 1-11.
1-11.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody paid attention that week, but they do. Let's make them. Here we go.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth.
Forget about Vegas and your buddy Joey. We got your winners right here. It's Tiki and Tierney's six.
All right, let's go.
Of
come on.
Picks.
Here we go. All right, I'm going to start. Now, you're not going to stick your toe in the college pool
at all.
You're going right to the NFL.
I am not touching college bowl games.
Sucker. There is money to be made, and it's going to be made right here on Saturday night, 9 Eastern. I'm going to the New Orleans Bowl. How about the New Orleans Bowl? Appalachian State, the program that years ago rolled into the Big House, beat Michigan. Every year they tack on a little bit more, throw a little money into the program, beat a couple of teams they're not supposed to. Now Appalachian State's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They're playing Middle Tennessee State, who you probably know more from the College Hoops tournament a couple of years back when they beat Tom Izzo's Spartans. Remember that?
Yep.
So I'm going to take Appalachian State -6.5 over Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State's a good program. Appalachian State's a real rising program. They're kind of used to this at this point. They're not overwhelmed by the bowl scene. It's inside of a touchdown. Feel pretty good about that. Give me App State laying the 6.5. I'm going to go with them. Up next, Herm Edwards, my boy Herm. We play to win the bet. 3:30 Eastern, Arizona State. He's coaching in college, Pac-12. +6 over Fresno State, the Bulldogs, and that's the Las Vegas Bowl. Now, first of all, I know he's lost a few games where, man, they were right there.
Yep.
He's done a pretty decent job. They got a couple of good recruits coming in, and they're +6 against the Bulldogs. Fresno State is better. I'll give it up from, I mean, they're obviously favored, but the spread is right. Like, Fresno State's better. Just every time I've rode Arizona State, it's been twice this year, Herm's come through as underdogs. I'm going to take the Sun Devils +6 in the Las Vegas Bowl, 3:30 Eastern on Saturday. Those are my two college picks. NFL. My Jets, who stink, but every time I ride the Jets, they've treated me well this year in addition. So it's not about wins and losses in terms of the standings. It's about wins and losses, ATS, at least pertaining to this. And the Jets are getting 7 at home. I know they're playing the Texans. Texans are good. Texans might be ticked off because they just had their win streak snapped. Or the Texans might be coming down to earth a little bit. And you give me 7 at home in a standalone game Saturday night. Jets will be ready. Fans will be rocking. They'll be pumped up, drunk, boozed up early. I'll take the Jets plus 7. Ravens, I'm just going to lay the wood here. -7.5. They're hosting Tampa Bay. Yeah, Tampa could score. They can't stop you. But Tampa's not scoring against the Ravens. They might get lucky for a deep pop up top. Mike Evans, hopefully, because he's on my team fantasy. But they're not scoring like 24, 27, or 30. Not happening. Ravens, it's a lot of wood. But listen, Lamar Jackson might go bonkers against this Tampa defense. Right. He might run for 200 yards. Right. Like, he might sniff 200 yards. And he might sniff, like, 500 all-purpose. I think Lamar Jackson is a great game. Ravens, -7.5. They're going to crush Tampa. Give me Seattle, -3.5 over San Francisco. Oh, Seattle looking ahead. Oh, Seattle coming off a game, you know, Muzz, short week, nonsense. 49ers, they're well-coached, but Seattle's defense is legit. And defense travels. So does a running game. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that bad game that Russell Wilson had the other night, that's an anomaly. That's the only bad game he's pretty much played all year. Seattle thumps the Niners. Give me Seattle -3.5. And the Saints and the Panthers, mentioned this before, Teague. The over-under is 50.5. Monday Night Football. You got Breeze. You got Cam. You got McCaffrey. You got Kamara. You got Thomas. You got DJ Moore. You got a fast track indoor. I'm taking the over 50.5. In summation, App State -6.5. New Orleans Bowl. Arizona State +6 over Fresno in the Las Vegas Bowl. Give me the Jets +7. Give me the Ravens to thump Tampa -7.5. Seattle -3.5 over San Francisco. And the over 50.5 in the Saints and the Panthers Monday night game. Tico, get it, buddy.
I like it, Blizzle.
All right.
Like I said, not touching college at all. Don't know the motivation of kids in New Orleans, no less, and in Las Vegas.
I didn't consider that. Oops. 0-2.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I don't know. Your teams, the team you picked, actually.
That's what I was going to say. The other team's going to win 5, and they'll mess up. Exactly. And the teams I picked, they'll be focused.
Exactly. So they're responsible. They're not going to the clubs. Stripping otherwise. I meant the strip, not
boy.
The strip.
I hear you. We know what you meant.
Talking about the strip, man. Come on. So I'm sticking all NFL. The Broncos are hosting the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have played really good football, and they don't always win. They're still learning. They're a young team. But I love Baker Mayfield, man. And Denver is a team that's just confounding. Even at home, they're up and down, and you don't know what you're going to get. They got some major injuries over the last couple of weeks. So I like the Browns going on the road and Mile High, getting 3 points. So give me the Browns and Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry and Tony Callaway, all those cats going up to Denver and keeping this one close. Give me the Browns +3. The Vikings are hosting the Dolphins. The Vikings are a must-win right now. We've seen their struggles and Kirk Cousins' struggles. We've talked about this. They fired their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. The philosophy will obviously change. They got to focus on running the ball. I think they slow this one down against a Dolphins team that's also kind of confounding at times. But I like the Vikings at home, their defense to pick themselves back up. And Kirk Cousins to prove that he's worth what he got paid. They're laying 7 here. Give me the Vikings -7 at home. It's a no-brainer for me. The Buffalo Bills hosting the Lions.
Let's go, Buffalo!
The Buffalo Bills hosting the Lions. I feel like, did I write this wrong, Sam? I think I might have wrote this one wrong.
Oh, this sounds like a winner.
Yeah, exactly. But
bet this game.
The Lions are getting 2.5 points here versus the Bills at home. Josh Allen has looked okay at times, and sometimes he's erratic. But if the Lions can find a way to contain him as a runner, that's where he's killing you. He's not beating you with his arms. He's not throwing for 350 yards. I think Matt Patricia is smart enough as a defensive mind to spy him and force him to make throws down the field as opposed to letting him pick up. I mean, what has he got, 370 yards on the season so far, which is ridiculous for a rookie. He's even bested Michael Vick's rookie record for rushing on the season. So I like the Lions here getting 2.5 points, even though they're on the road in Buffalo where the weather is going to be horrendous. The Bills' defense, Bills' offensive line is terrible too, by the way. The Falcons hosting the Cardinals. Look, I know we just talked about Steve Wilks possibly getting fired, but 10 points against the Falcons? Who are just so banged up on both sides of the ball. With Josh Rosen taking steps every year. They're still you still got David Johnson, even though he's banged up and may not play, have limited carries. I like this Cardinals offense against this Falcons beat-up defense. Give me the Cardinals getting 10 points, even though it's on the road out in Atlanta. We talked about this game in the last segment, BT. The Cowboys at the Colts. Cowboys are playing great football. I know the Colts are playing good on both sides, and Andrew Luck has looked good at times, but this Cowboys defense is the best defense in football right now. They're flying all over the field. Their second level is fantastic. Their third level is also very good. And Dak, with their new receiver, Mark Cooper, have found a way to balance their offense. We talked to Jason Lockenfour about this. Scott Linehan, Jason Garrett. And kind of figured it out midseason, midstream. Give him some credit. I like the Cowboys getting 3 points. I actually thought they would be the favorite. Getting 3 points up in Indianapolis inside, definitely give me the Cowboys +3. And then lastly, the Rams are hosting the Eagles. Carson Wentz is not going to play. This is maybe one of the bigger spreads of the weekend at 11.5. The Rams obviously had a really tough game last weekend against the Bears. I like the Rams here hosting the Eagles, who may have Nick Foles at quarterback once again. So to recap, Browns +3, the Vikings -7, the Lions +2.5, the Cardinals +10. It's a big number. You always got to take big numbers. The Cowboys +3, and the Rams laying 11.5, hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, who are reeling right now.
All right, T, get them up there. Santa's going to handle that on social media, so you want to follow us and obviously proceed with caution. You never know. It's a strange time of the year.
Very.
A lot of injuries, some strange spreads. Not everybody's motivated, so be smart, have fun, do it legally, and have a little fun with that. So coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, Week 15 NFL Whip Around. We'll hear from Mitch Trubisky. We'll hear from Big Ben as well as others, but first, Justin Shackle's update. Here he is, Justin. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tiki, we still got to get to the whip around. Tiki and Tierney, Week 15 NFL whip around. So let us first answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Nolan Pinky. Hey, remember me, Tiki? I'm back.
Back.
Huh?
Guess who's back?
I don't know.
Back again.
Nolan, do you know Nolan Pinky?
Shady's back. No, I think he wrote us a while ago.
Okay, gotcha.
About the Seahawks.
Gotcha. Okay. So now he's basically proving he's right, and he wants you to. Okay, let's see. Mm-hmm. What type of chance do you give my Seahawks now? Oh, he's coming at you. Mm. That's right. Get on him.
Puff my chest down.
Uh-huh. I think we'll beat Kansas City in our next game. Russ will never lay an egg 2 games in a row. Where do you stand on the Seattle Seahawks?
You can puff your chest, but Seattle can't score with the Kansas City Chiefs. And maybe teams are slowing them down a little bit, but I do agree with you. The Seahawks are going to the postseason, and they're going to be trouble for people because Russ will not have a game where he has less than 100 yards passing and is ineffective as he was last week.
And even, like, really just sloppy mistakes. Should have given up a pick six. Remember that
the half? Right before the half. Like, uh-huh. He just doesn't do that.
Maybe the worst game he's played as a pro.
Probably.
He was really bad that night.
And I'm going to go with the law of averages. The law of averages says Russell Wilson's going to have a phenomenal next game, and I think he will.
I agree. He's going to get back to being Russell Wilson.
I don't think he's beating the Chiefs, but I think he'll have a great game.
Mm-hmm. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So get ready for, this year has flown by, dude.
I know. You're looking at we're watching the NFL Network up here. The Jets keep getting guys banged around. Now I feel like I want to pick up Elijah McGuire.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people
just talk about fantasy.
Like, guys like Matthew Berry. You know, I follow all these people. Like, Elijah McGuire's getting some love. He's not on my team. I've got some pretty good, I went with Damien Williams last night. But Elijah McGuire, they have sleepers. They have don't touch. You know, he's getting a lot of love, Elijah McGuire.
He got 76% of the touches last week.
He's a little shifty. Nobody cares about Elijah McGuire, big picture.
No.
But if you're playing fantasy, you need a running back. Elijah McGuire might be somebody you might want to check out.
All right.
It's a good call. All right, we do it every single Friday. We start to wrap up the show. Ready for a little whip around, T?
Yep, let's hit it.
Here it is.
Packers, Bears.
Okay, we start. The Green Bay Packers coming off a big-time performance. They got themselves right. The Rams coming off the Bears coming off a bigger performance. What do you see here? You sense the Packers ready to go?
Well, we had this conversation briefly before, even earlier in the week, about Joe Philbin being the play caller as well as the interim head coach for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers felt like he was more engaged. Aaron Jones got touches, and they were able to get a big win. But they're going up against the Chicago Bears, who are feeling themselves. This feels like the Bears of old, meaning like 80s old, where they just dominate on defense. Khalil Mack is a disruptor. They have in at least the top three front seven defensively in the National Football League. I think Chicago handles this one, even though it's going to be a tough win because the Packers are feeling themselves.
You know what's crazy? And looking up at the stats, if TV could keep that up there for a second, when you look at the stats in totality, there's not a ton of difference.
No, you're right.
Like, just basically 3 points in terms of offensive performance output per game. Obviously, there's, you know, 4 points fewer in terms of defense, which favors the Bears, and 4 points matters in the NFL. But, you know, passing yards a game, pretty much the same. Rushing yards a game, you know, same neighborhood. Third down percentage, same neighborhood. Yet one team is 5-7-1, the other's 9-4. So I think we get a good game. I think we get a fun game. And Mitch Trubisky says, hey, we remember what went down week one against the Packers.
You know, it's a rivalry game, so this is important for us even more this week to be 1-0. And we watched some clips from this morning about just getting that sick feeling back, that sting a little bit, and we just want to finish so we don't have that feeling again.
Raiders, Bengals.
Okay, the Raiders 3-10, but showing a little promise as they get toward the end of the season, coming off a win. The Bengals 5-8, could be Marvin Lewis's final. I think it's going to be his final few weeks as head coach of Cincinnati. Derek Carr says, hey, listen, there are reports out there we might only have one game left at the Coliseum.
That is crazy, and that to me, that just seems weird. You know, it just seems different to even have to think that way, because I spent 5 years playing in this stadium, and, you know, we have people talking trash about it and whatever they want, but I love it. You know, it's ours.
It's well said. You know, what's somebody's treasure, another person's trash, or one person's trash, another person's treasure, probably the right way to say it.
Look, BT, this Raiders team is actually playing okay. They're not world beaters, but they don't quit. The Bengals, on the other hand, they went into their bye week at 5-3, looking like a team that was going to compete for a postseason spot. They came out of that break and have lost five in a row, including a closer game last week to the Los Angeles Chargers. Jeff Driscoll, their quarterback, they've been decimated by injuries. But I like the Raiders in this one, BT, simply because they're playing harder right now and they have more guys available.
You know, and I just want to point this out. And I don't disagree with that, although you always worry a little bit about west to east. But it's probably nullified because the Bengals are such a mess right now. I'm not sure that they're really inspired.
No.
You know, Derek Carr, very quietly, I know quarterback ratings grossly overused and probably really not representative of a whole lot in some cases.
It does tell a tale, though.
He's playing. Yeah, it does. And you know, he hasn't thrown a pick because... So he had three picks in week one, then he had none, then he had 2-2-1. Since then, since his last pick was October 7th.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Carr quietly has rebounded from getting knocked around by John Gruden early on when they seemed to be on the outs there. He's showing some toughness and some poise.
He's finally buying in, maybe?
Maybe.
Titans, Giants.
Okay, so the New York Giants are 5-8, showing some signs late. And of course, Tennessee's got to win. Giants have to win and have about a million things go right for them to actually get in, but they're not out of it yet. Mm-hmm. Tennessee 7-6. What do you see with your old team?
Yeah, the Tennessee Titans are a team that, you know, Derrick Henry had a day last week. We saw this with the 248 or whatever, the 99-yard touchdown.
And three mush jobs on the one run.
Three mush jobs along the way.
Mush.
But they're going to have to find a way to slow down this Giants team that, for the first time in years, BT, is going through a running back. Saquon Barkley, I mean, I think you agree with me, easily rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year.
Yes, I do.
And he's only getting better.
Great.
He's slowing down, you know, through initial play action and through the line of scrimmage, and then he explodes and he has these big plays. Five 50-plus runs already this season, which is ridiculous, the thing. Those are huge plays. Not big plays. Those are huge plays, and it allows Eli to be a more disciplined quarterback when you have a run game like that. So this is a rough one at home for the Giants. I'm going to give the Giants a fighting chance, though. Let's see the Giants find a way to win this.
It's a point spread. It's 1 point either way, so Vegas is kind of seeing this as a flip of a coin kind of a game. I was looking at some numbers for tops, something I was trying to weave into Tierney's take. You know, Saquon Barkley, by the way, is only about 120 yards behind Zeke for the rushing title.
You can make an argument that he's the best running back in football right now. I think he finished third overall in fan voting for the Pro Bowl. Third. He's a rookie.
That's crazy. Let me, real fast, 209 carries. Mm-hmm. Giants probably aren't getting in. At what point do you limit the amount of hits he takes?
After this week. Because this is going to determine. The Giants aren't out of it.
No, that's what I said before. Right? They need a million things to happen, but they're still breathing.
If they win this week, or if they lose this week, then you got to pump the brakes on Saquon.
Okay.
You know, you got Wayne Gallman there, who's a decent runner.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's right? Okay. So
pump the brakes if they lose this week. Otherwise, keep feeding the kid.
Well, losing, not a real option for the Titans either. But Marcus Mariota says, we can't worry about all the different scenarios. We got to show up and play football.
Those things are going to happen. You can't control it. All you can worry about is what's going on here. And if you try to sit there in the clouds and figure out all these scenarios, you get lost and you don't really focus on what you have to take care of. So,
Redskins, Jaguars.
Okay, Josh Johnson. You know, not Zach Johnson, not Randy Johnson. I mean, Josh Johnson, back in the NFL, and here's what he says about his next chance.
When I had the opportunity to go out here and play a game that only maybe 2,000 people get the opportunity to do, there ain't nothing to complain about. This is like going to Disneyland every day for me. For real, because just a week ago, I was at home in the hood, chilling with the kids, chilling with my family, looking on the couch, possibly thinking I might not never play in the NFL again. But a week later, look at me now. I'm here starting with a great opportunity to get us a victory this Sunday in Jacksonville. I'm excited about that.
Go ahead, young man.
That's a refreshingly awesome attitude.
I love that, man.
There you go.
You know what the crazy thing is? Mm. He's likely to be the better quarterback on the field.
Yeah, yes,
Kessler
for sure.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Look, he came in relief, and 2011 was the last time he threw a pass. 2011!
Oh, man.
He was 11 of 16 at 195. Yeah, I know. Had 195 yards and a touchdown. He did throw an interception, but he also rushed for a touchdown for a 32-year-old kid, so to speak, because he's kind of young in the game of getting some opportunities. He's got to run with this, and why not? And I think he does a great job down in Jacksonville, because Jacksonville's a complete and utter disaster right now. Defensively, they still play some good football, but it's almost when they want to.
Go forward, young man. Do what you got to do. Redskins 6-7, Jags 4-9. As we hit with JLC earlier, he said there's a good chance Marone not back. So obviously, if you lose this game, that could be the final nail. The Redskins are ravaged with injuries. You're supposed to win this game at home. This could very well decide whether or not Marone's back. All right, Teak, how about this?
Patriots, Steelers.
Big Ben and the Pat. We've talked about this all day.
Yep.
I mean, all week, really. Let's see where we're at. What's the one key to this game? One aspect, one area.
Well, can the Steelers, when they went into the middle of the season and they got really good. Remember, there was a little stretch of there where it was like, man, the Steelers look good. They're viable now for a postseason and can potentially, you know, get to it and win a Super Bowl. They were focused on their run game. The problem is, and Big Ben wasn't throwing the ball 60 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is James Conner's hurt, and the backup options just aren't viable.
Jalen Samuels. He's a guy that you might want to pick up on the fantasy.
I agree,
that's a name that I wrestled
with. But he's just unreliable. I can't say he's unreliable. We just don't know.
Yeah.
We have no idea what it's going to give.
Yeah.
With that being said, if they're going to beat New England, and we talked about potentially being a shootout, they got to find a way to run the ball. They can't put it all on Ben, because when you put it all on Ben, like we've seen the last few weeks, sometimes it goes awry. Big Ben's not old and not done, but he's not Big Ben from a couple of years ago.
He's not overly consistent, though he's very aware of the 3-game losing streak that the Steelers are facing with when they take on the Pats.
I don't think confidence is a loss in it. I think it's an understanding of what we need to do, facing adversity in the face. And just kind of getting ready for, you know, maybe one of the biggest challenges we've had all year. You know, the Patriots are one of the best teams for a reason. You know, we're not the only team that has issues with them. You know, they're that good. So the past is the past, though. So we can only focus on this week.
All right, there you go. Week 15, Tiki and Tierney, NFL whip around. We spin you around the league here.
BT, there's a couple of big basketball games tonight.
It's just funny. Look what I just went to.
Yep.
I went to college? Or
you're looking college, but you can get to that real quickly. But the one to look for, and we mentioned it earlier, Oklahoma City versus the Denver Nuggets, 17-9, 18-9, top of the Western Conference right now. That's a game to watch. It's late, but it's worth watching.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, it's not too late to have a scotch on your lap when the kiddies are down. It's Friday night.
It's perfect.
What do you mean it's late?
It's perfect.
We're not 75 or 80 years old here.
No,
come on, late.
I'm just saying. Some people like to go to bed.
I hear you. I'll tell you what. We'll get I know they're not what they've been, but Villanova could have a really rough time tomorrow. They're at Allen Fieldhouse against number one Kansas. Mm-hmm. And Villanova just coming off that loss to Penn. So that's a game to keep an eye on. Villanova, great great history, but they're down this year. Anything else at the top 25 this weekend? At least tomorrow, nothing really jumping out. Butler, Indiana, that's an in-state rivalry. That's cool. Kentucky hosting Utah, somewhat interesting. Gonzaga, North Carolina, that's right. That's a Dean Dome coming up on Saturday at 7 Eastern. Teak, have a great weekend, buddy.
Thank
be
you.
Safe. Enjoy it, right?
Be good, brother, and good luck on your closing on Monday. BT will not be here Monday. I'll be solo. He'll be buying a house.
Yep, coming back broke. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.